Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to AGI Greenpeng's Q2 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Arya Patel, Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ikra. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, I welcome you all to the Q2 and H1 FY26 post-earnings conference call for AGI Greenpeng. We have with us today Mr. Rajesh Khosla, President and CEO, Mr. Om Prakash Pandey, CFO, and Mr. Sandeep Sikka, Group CFO. Today's session would be a brief on the results, followed by a Q&A round. So, without any further delay, I now hand over the call to Mr. OP Pandey for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the AGI Greenpeng Q2 FY26 earnings call. For those following along, our detailed earnings presentation is already available on our website and on the stock exchange portals. Before we begin, please note the standard disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of that presentation. We are pleased to report that the first half of FY26 marked a period of robust growth and strategic execution, providing a strong foundation for the remainder of the year. Our financial performance for the first half of FY26 clearly demonstrates the success of our focus on operational efficiency and product premiumization. Revenue from the operation, excluding other income, grew by a solid 10.6% year-on-year basis, rising to rupees 1,289 crore compared to rupees 1,166 crore in H1 FY25. We maintained strong profitability, with EBITDA, excluding other income, standing firm at rupees 292 crore. Our net profit surged by 21.9% year-on-year to rupees 165 crore, up from rupees 135 crore in the corresponding period last year. This enhanced profitability is directly attributed to the successful elevation of our product mix. We have continued to expand our footprint in premium, higher-margin segments, including cosmetic, perfumery, and alcohol beverages. Disciplined execution across all our facilities has been key to realizing these results. Moving to our Q2 performance, the quarter saw revenue from operations increase marginally by 0.4% year-on-year to rupees 602 crore. As is common with our business cycle, Q2 revenue was sequentially lower than Q1, partially due to our planned seasonal shift, where we focus on building stock for the products like beer for the remaining quarters. This year, we also saw a slight impact on sales volume due to the higher intensity of the monsoon and flooding in various states. Despite these factors, our production capacity utilization remained high at around 95%. On the profitability front, our EBITDA for Q2 stood at rupees 150 crore. However, I want to draw your attention to our margin. Our Q2 EBITDA margin, excluding other income, was healthy at 24.9%. This represents a significant 250 basis point jump compared to the adjusted Q1 margin of 22.4%, demonstrating improved efficiencies and the positive impact of our better product mix during the quarter. This translated into a Q2 net profit of rupees 76 crore, an increase of 5.6% year-on-year. We have demonstrated our commitment to financial prudence by completing a term loan prepayment of Rs. 193 crore in July 25. This has substantially reduced our term loan borrowing to just 233 crore as of September 2025, significantly strengthening our financial position. There has been a temporary increase in our current assets holding days by around 15 days as on 30th September 25 as compared to corresponding last year figures. This current assets holding level will normalize during the next 1 and 2 quarters in line with last year numbers. The overall working capital has increased as the company prepaid some of its outstanding operational creditors by availing additional discount over the bank borrowing cost. Now I will hand the call over to Mr. Rajesh Khosla to walk you through the key strategic and business highlights that underpin our continued growth trajectory.
Thank you, Mr. Pandey. Good evening, everyone. As Mr. Pandey highlighted the financial success, my focus will be on three-pronged growth strategy we are executing to ensure the long-term sustainable value creation through operational excellence and portfolio diversification. Since March 25, we have initiated several capacity expansion projects that are interconnected and designed to strengthen our market presence, enhance our high-margin product capabilities, and diversify our packaging portfolio. First, our North India Greenfield Glass Plant in Madhya Pradesh marks the pivotal milestone in this journey. The project is on track to be operational by March 27 and will add 500 tons per day of the new capacity, that is 25% increase in our overall glass production, taking our total volume to 2600 tons per day. We have already secured land from MPIDC, commenced civil work, and are in finalizing major equipment contracts. This plant is crucial for serving the growing North Indian market efficiently. Second, we are making a bold and strategic entry into aluminium beverage can segment with our new facility in Uttar Pradesh. This is our major diversification step that complements our core glass packaging business and positions us in a rapidly growing sustainable packaging category. The facility will be developed in two phases, starting with an annual capacity of 950 million cans and scaling up to 1.6 billion cans by FY30. We are in the final stages of land acquisition and machinery finalization for this exciting new vertical. Third, while we built up for the future, we are also driving near-term growth through the debottlenecking and expansion of our existing facility. Both upgrades are expected to be operational by March 26. Our container glass capacity will increase from 1850 tons per day to 1900 tons per day, while our specialty glass capacity will see a significant expansion from 154 ton per day to 200 ton per day, further strengthening our ability to serve both mass and premium segment effectively. Collectively, these investments provide a clear roadmap for capitalizing on market opportunities, especially in high-value industries like cosmetic, pharmaceutical, and premium beverages. Our focus remains on optimizing capacity, improving efficiency, and delivering long-term value. Thank you. We are now ready to open the call for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rehan Sayyed from Trinetra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
you are audible.
Yes, please.
Hello, good evening to your team, and thank you for giving me the opportunity, and happy Diwali to everyone. So my first question is around the aluminium business side. So like I want to understand from the ROCE net. So the UP can plan to start with 950 million pieces by quarter 3 FY28 and scaling to 1.6 million by FY30. So at what utilization level do you expect the business to break even at an EBITDA level and cross double digit ROC? So for example, if you take around 60-65% utilization or higher, it will generally generate ROC in a double digit or going forward.
Mr. Sikka?
Yes, most of
this. Sorry, please carry on.
So most of these facilities which we do, they should break even at somewhere around 65-70% capacity utilization. Because what happens is there are some initial fixed costs which are attached to all these sort of plants, and they should generally get captured ranging between 60-70%. The factor was higher for the glass, but for the aluminium segment, I think 60-65% is somewhere where the break-even should happen.
Okay, fair enough. And my second and last question is about regarding what post-debottlenecking margin guidance around. So once the container glass moves from 1850 to 1900 TPD, especially glass from 154 to 200 TPD, so by March 2026, so should we model a stable EBITDA band of 25-27% going forward, or do you still expect volatility due to fuel and raw material?
Your voice was not clear. If you can repeat
yes.
the
question. Yeah, sure. I'll repeat my question again. Can I repeat my question again? Hello. Yeah, can I repeat?
If you can hold your phone nearer to your mouth, or if you are talking from a speakerphone, if you can take it from a speakerphone, that will be helpful.
Now I am audible clearly?
Yes.
Slightly better.
Okay, I'll just repeat my question. This is my last question. This is regarding the post-debottlenecking. So once the container glass moves from 1850 to 1900 TPD and specialty glass from 154 to 200 TPD. So by March FY26, should we model a stable EBITDA band of 25-27% going forward, or do you still expect a volatility link to fuel and raw material in this margin side?
Okay. Mr. Sekhar, you like to reply or shall I do it?
So if I understand your question, if you're saying is that with all the debottlenecking which is happening on the container glass and also on the specialty glass, will the EBITDA margin improve or remain in the range bound? So both these projects should be up running by March 26. We expect, when you see, on both the facilities, on the container glass also, and now our tonnages and the capacity utilization, even on the specialty glass, has gone up. It's gone beyond 80%. So we thought of debottlenecking this so that if we can take a higher throughput from these furnaces. There are two gains into this. On the container side, we are, I think, the best in terms of the industry, and maybe in Asia, or for the container glass profitability which we generate. With the any incremental tonnage happening, we feel another quarter basis point or a half basis point profitability improvement should happen. But this is over a long-term period, because you can't measure this on a quarter-to-quarter, because every quarter is a different quarter in terms of the mix and the raw material fluctuations and everything. On the specialty glass, there are two ways of growth. You know, one, the volume growth will definitely increase. Secondly, there is a journey which we are, you know, walking on that path in terms of the specialty glass, in terms of acquiring more and more premium and superior international customers, which, and this path we have been walking for almost now, almost 2.5 years plus, but we feel still a long way to go, wherein we should be able to improve our realizations much better, offer a better high value, you know, value-added products to our international customers. There, the EBITDA margin expansion, you can easily consider maybe 4 to 5% over the next 18 months happening on the specialty glass. Rajesh, you have any additional point on this?
No, I think it's okay. One thing is there, when we have already put up the facility in the case of specialty glass, so there is a long gestation period to put up the new facility. It is always advisable, or it is a business sense, that we should try to extract maximum potential of the assets we have already put up there. So with this debottlenecking, we have been able to, or we will be able to add up almost 40-50 tons of glass every day. And for that, already the action has been taken. The new machines are already on the way, and it will be operational by the end of this year. So certainly one is because of the volume growth. So the EBITDA margins certainly going to grow because of the volume. On the percentage wise, I think Sandeep Sikka has already informed you that yes, there will be an impact of small percentages, impact on margin percentages. That all depends upon so many more factors, but certainly on the absolute term wise, the EBITDA margin certainly going to grow with the volumes.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you for your detailed answer, and all the best for your coming quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Premji Invest. Please go ahead. Harshit, your line is unmuted. Please proceed ahead with your question.
Yes, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Harshit, there is a background disturbance from your side. Background noise. Can you please look into this?
My question was regarding the capacity utilization.
Harshit, sorry, we are unable to hear you. Can you please join the queue again?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and sharing my best wishes for the festive season. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the aluminium can business, we recently read a news about pushing authorities to remove import curbs on beer cans. This was due to the high supply-demand gap. And do you anticipate this to go through? And if yes, how might it impact our plans?
Okay. There is a big demand of the aluminium can market on the beer side and beverages side. And there is a gap between demand and supply. And the beverage companies or the beer companies, they are requesting the authorities, the government, to remove some of the non-tariff barriers, for example, like BIS standards and other standards, so that they can import the can. So there may be possibility that this can be done. There may be possibility, but it has no impact on our operations, our profitability, or our future, or our demand side. Because whatever these imports somebody likely to bring, if at all they are bringing, I am taking the extreme negative part of the discussion. So it will be very, very expensive because of the freight element and taxation elements and other local freight elements. and they are not at all viable, but they are only to fill up the gap. So it is a very good thing that the market is going to grow. And for us, when we will enter into this market by 27, so there will be a ready-made platter for us, and we don't have to do anything. We just have to replace the imports, whatever is coming. I have taken extremely negative view or extremely negative view of the remarks in this situation.
Understood, sir. This is helpful. And you, there was a decision by the board to raise equity. Has there been any finalization of the terms, or when might that be expected?
So the board has passed a resolution to raise equity through various instruments, and we are in process of seeking shareholder approval also, and for which the it's already up with the shareholders. The plan is that we may raise this in next 12 months. So we're just trying to see how market stabilizes and how we plan it out. So right now, difficult for us to give a guidance on this, but I think maybe in next 3 to 6 months we should be there.
Understood. Next question on the debottlenecking. Can you tell us the tentative timelines for the debottlenecking process? Because during that process, there will be a loss of revenue. So if you can also please quantify what kind of revenues can we anticipate being lost due to this debottlenecking process?
Okay, when we are talking of two debottleneckings, one is in commercial glass and one is in specialty glass. In the case of specialty glass, so whenever you are adding the equipment, so for a week's time or maximum 10 days time, there is a bit of disturbance. For 10 days time, there can be a little 5-7% less of the production. That's all. But immediately, once you put up the facility, those productions are being covered up with the higher volumes, and within a span of 2 days, 3 days, they are being covered up. So for all practical purposes, it is not to be taken in account, and everything remains standstill. So these are up and downs only because of the small adjustment or synchronization of the new machinery to the old machinery. And same thing is applicable in the commercial glass. But in the commercial glass, the whatever is 1850 ton facility is there, that is distributed among four furnaces, and the debottlenecking has to be done in one of the furnaces. So I do not see any remarkable change or dip on any of the revenues because of this debottlenecking.
Understood, sir. Now about the operating expenses, you mentioned in the presentation that you're targeting a cullet share of about 40%. Can you please tell me what are the current levels being used? And this question is more from the perspective of optimizing the energy expenses. It has also been articulated that will be reduced by 10%. So currently, as a share of top line, they stand around 19 to 20%. How much can we anticipate them to be going forward?
So I think the presentation covered that we are already using 40% cullet, and that helps us save the energy. So it's not a directionality which we are saying that we will start using 40%. So we are already doing that. Rajesh, if you can add to that.
Yeah, we are using more than 40% of the cullet, and we will be using more also in the times to come. And since cullet or the scrap, glass scrap you can say, it is being handled by unstructured market. So sometimes you face a difficulty in raising the things. But as the country progressing, as the municipal corporations are getting more and more structured, so this cullet is available, and cullet has no other usage except the melting or glass making. So we expect that in the times to come, the cullet percentage will increase further, which will further give us better energy, and which is certainly going to give us better tonnages also. So that is exactly what we mean to say in our presentation.
Understood, sir. Thank you for clarifying. So for the near term, for the near to medium term, can we expect the power and energy expenses to be range bound as a percentage of the top line?
See, we are doing day and night efforts how to reduce the energy and how to optimize the same. Collect is one part of the whole efforts which we are being done, but all these efforts in a small percentage will give very small incremental benefits, but they are the benefits. So I cannot say immediately, but certainly with our aims on sustainability, with our commitment on the environment and our targets on how to reduce the further energies, I think we are going to get the results in next few months, I can say, or within a next year or 2 years like that. And let me clarify you, we are already at one of the most optimum energy usage company in the glass industry in the world, not in India, in the world.
Understood, sir. Thank you for that. Sir, you mentioned three levers
of
growth.
Sorry to interrupt, Parikshit.
Just
if
my last question.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So the question was more on the export side. In the three levers of growth, there was no mention of exports here. So can you please tell us what was the share of exports as a percentage of top line? I know that the target is around 15%, and there have been more visits to international expos and
okay.
The market and those. So
as on today, our export percentage falls anywhere between 5 to 7%. We have an aspiration of increasing our export to 10 to 15% total. I'm not talking. In a specialty glass, this percentage is quite high, and we have an aspiration of taking this percentage to 40% in the specialty glass. But this aspiration will not overcome our commercial targets. We are more interested to have very good bottom line and top line. For that purpose, export is not the criteria on which we are working. Looking to the instability in the global market as on today, for example, like USA has a tariff, Europe, we have yet to settle with the FTA agreement, and other areas, there are some disturbances because of either war or because of geopolitics. So we are not very I can say desperate, but yes, we are keen, and we are developing slowly the pockets in which our material can go. We are already having a very strong footprints in Europe as on today, and we are supplying a lot of quantity in Europe today, and I think there is a good amount of supplies to USA as on today, and probably once the tariff thing is settled down, we are going to go in a big way in this thing. But again, it all depends upon the economics of our business. We have no desperation in chasing in numbers just like that. Aspiration is everything goes well, economics goes well, we may like to go up to 40% in specialty glass, and in commercial glass, it all depends upon demand and supply globally. So, but in commercial glass, all the plants are being added up with local demand in consideration, not the export demand in consideration.
Understood, sir. Thank you again for your detailed answers. I'll join back the queue, and good luck for the current quarter.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yes, happy Diwali to everyone. So I just had a question on the capex that you are doing. So what will be the capex amount required for all the projects?
So we would be spending around 50 crores on the debottlenecking exercise. You know, apart from this, We are also undertaking some expansion of our closure, specialty glass closure. Specialty closures, basically, which is caps and closures. The overall spend in the next 1 year, I think, on a rolling basis, should be in a range of. I'm not including Gwalior plant or aluminium beverage can. So, but should be in range of odd 120 to 150 crores.
So this 120 to 150 crores does not include the greenfield project and the aluminium beverage plant.
Yes, for which we have already discussed separate numbers because it's very difficult to time out on the rolling basis. Like the Madhya Pradesh Gwalior plant should be up running by March 27. So the overall capital expenditure in terms of land and building and other expenses is about 700 crores. So a majority of that will be spent there. And in the aluminium can, we have disclosed that commercial production should start by Q3 of FY 2027-28. The total outlay in the first phase is around 850 crores, so major chunk will be spent by that time, which is December 2027 for that.
Okay, understood. And how are we raising the funds for this?
So right now, if you see, our existing businesses throw out almost 400 crores plus cash flow from operations, given the fact that the debt is very low right now. So we'll use a mix of internal accruals and also raise long-term debt for this. And maybe going forward, if we raise equity, we can then prepay the debt or use, the debt as maybe mandated as part of the document. But right now, it's a mix of internal accruals and the long-term debt.
Okay, understood. And any growth projections you can give for FY27 on EBITDA level and top line level?
So we have already gone on record through various media by saying, in the next two, if everything gets implemented, we should be able to further enhance our EBITDA margins ranging around 1 to 2% in next 24 months before the other project starts coming in. So that's the guidance which we have already given to the market.
Okay. And on top line level, any growth guidance?
We should continue for the next 2 years to grow in a range of around 8 to 10% every year. And after that, the Gwalior project will come, and after that, a can project will come. So we have a series of growth, benchmarked for each other year. So for financial year, let's say FY25-26, 8 to 10%. FY26-27 as our 8 to 10%, and then followed by we'll have a 25% more volume, so maybe you have to assume a capacity utilization. So next 2 years, 3 years after that, there will be a consistent growth coming through.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much. That is it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Premji Invest. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so just wanted to check on the reason which you gave for the very flat growth. Is it because of some kind of temporary shutdown issues?
Sorry to interrupt, Harshit. Again, we can notice some disturbance while you are talking.
I can't hear you. Your voice is breaking. In fact, I couldn't understand anything. The sparking or something, fluctuation happening in your line. We can take a next question maybe, once he gets back, so we can answer his question.
The next question is from the line of Anil Shah from Insightful Invest Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had just two questions. One, can you give us a little bit more granularity on your CapEx for each year wise? Because, you talked about a QIP over the next, equity issuance over the next 12 months subject to markets. Now, in case market conditions are not great, I just want to get a sense of, will we continue with the proposed CapEx plans as is basis? What's the, highest EBIT, what's the highest level of debt that we will be sitting at in case we don't have a equity issuance, so on and so forth? So assuming that most of the projects get scheduled on time, as you know, as you've talked about, by March 27, the Madhya Pradesh plant, and in FY 28, the first phase of the aluminum cans. Assuming that, then for now, for the next 6 months in FY 26, and in FY 27, and in FY 28, what would be our CapEx?
So
Each.
If I add up, you know, let's say we benchmark 700 crores for the glass expansion, container glass, another 850 crores on the aluminum cans, 150 crores on the other debottlenecking and the expansion which we already spoken of, and take another 100 crores each for the remaining 2 years. So this total works to 900 plus, that is somewhere around 1900 to 2000 crores of CapEx happening March 2028. Even without an equity, let's say even if the current state of operations going through the way we have been generating EBITDA, and I'll benchmark last year numbers, let's say we generate around 425-450 crores of cash flow from operations before the CapEx and before any working capital adjustments. So in a span of 3 years, we should have odd, let's say, 1,000 to 1,200 crores bare minimum coming from this. And we can easily take a debt, because assuming even the current run rate of EBITDA of somewhere around 650 to 700 crores, two times debt is you know, around 1,300 crores. So we have a fair headroom to, you know, punch in the growth which is targeted by the management.
So just to kind of summarize what you said, we are now talking about, you know, part half of FY 26, 27 and 28. Assuming the free cash flow that you talked about, the cash flow from operations, we are now looking at broadly 800 to 1,000 crores coming in from there, pre-CapEx and pre-working capital. Okay. If I take that 800 to 1,000, that means my debt requirement, or for whatever, either debt or equity issuance requirement, will be another 800 to 1,000 crores. We are currently sitting at about 400 crores of debt, long-term, short-term combined. Correct.
So if you see, the short-term debt is very temporary in nature, because we have, Mr. Pandey spoke about it, that our inventories and debtors increased during this quarter, which we feel in next two quarters should be down. And we discounted, since we had a surplus cash coming from operations, we had additional delta on discounting of various creditors, which we did. Very rationally, because we use debt and that we can pair off easily. So the long-term debt is around 225 crores right now, which will be paid off in a span of next 2 years, 1 year. And balance, if you see the scenario, if you do an Excel model of March 28 with the existing debt being paid off, so if even you can assume even if 2,000 crore of capital expenditure, it can be easily done with a 1:1 ratio of internal accruals and a debt.
Yeah, so peak debt will be closer to 1,000 crores, 1,100 crores.
1,100 around that. That's
correct,
right.
Peak debt, in case we don't do any equity issuance.
Yep.
And the management is quite clear that irrespective of, you know, the market conditions, in case we are, you know, we are not happy with the price that the market is offering, we'll continue with the projects on a timely basis and raise debt.
Yeah, there is no question. I think the resolution which the company has passed is an enabling, so that if required, we can further create a headroom, you know, for paying off the debt and for other, you know, growth elements which we can look into our sector.
Sure. And the second question, sir, is, you know, in your press release, in your PPT, you talked about 8 to 9% revenue growth. You also spoke about the same today in the Q&A. For each of the next 2 years. Just to clarify, the second half last year, you know, we did have a pretty decent second half last year. So are we confident that on a higher, you know, top line for Q3 and Q4, which we had last year, the second half of this year should also grow 8 to 9% on that as well, with steady margin of 24-25%. Is that something that we can pin?
So if you see, if H1, we have already grown by around 10.6% around.
Yes.
In itself.
Yeah,
so,
but the Q2 was quite muted, flattish.
Because measuring on quarter to quarter, it gets extremely difficult for any business, because business try to drive as fast as possible, but there are definitely some external conditions We talked about it, you know, like there have been severe flooding in various parts of the country, so it has impacted. And few of the liquor companies have also gone record and talked about it, that their sales have also got affected. So, but I think everything is normal now, and okay. We are very confident. Rajesh, would you like to add anything to this?
Normally, what Mr. Sikka is saying, in the case of H1, in spite of having a demand or rain issue, still we have grown. So there is a likely possibility that the H2 will be much, much, much better as compared to the H1. So the overall numbers certainly are going to be achieved, whatever has been indicated to you people.
Okay.
So these numbers will be achieved. So I don't see any issue or any hurdles in achieving those numbers as such.
Okay.
And secondly, when we are in a business where anything regarding the nature plays a very important role, for example, the rains, the floods or other things, or even a delayed scenario of a high winters, they can play a little bit, they can demand and supply, they can impact. So these are all temporary things, and slowly the market also get adjusted accordingly. So I don't see any big hurdle in achieving those numbers.
Great. Thank you so much and best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sheel Kumar Shah from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand our inventory and the debtors has increased during the first half, even in the last last year first half it was normal. So what has led to increase? And there is one line item called acceptance. So what is that? If you can explain that.
Mr. Pandey.
Yeah. Actually, the inventory is because of the our continuity of the production, because the upcoming season that is going to take place in the Q3 and Q4. So we stock finished goods to be ready with the when the market demands grows. So that is a temporary thing that will get adjusted in the next coming quarters. Coming to the receivables, there were certain blip in the software side of the our some of the major customers, where the uploading of the bill was delayed. So the payment has come in the first week of the after the end of the quarter. So I think this is normal. It will be a normal collections. So that will not going to be impact in the coming quarter. It is one time blip was there in the software that has been delayed. So this is the reason that it both the item has gone up. And about the payable side, we had, as Mr. Sikka told, that we had surplus fund lying in the bank after paying our long-term debt, prepaying our long-term debt. So that money we utilized by prepaying our some of the suppliers' bills by getting it discounted higher than our bank rate.
Okay, and that is what is the acceptance, right? Hello. Yeah,
sorry,
I mean
hello.
The last thing that you bill discounted part, sir, is about acceptance part, right?
Yes. So basically, some changes in the requirement disclosures also. So all the bill discounting which any company is doing now has to be distinctly shown as under the different nomenclature. So which in our case we are showing as not as a trade payables but as acceptances.
Okay, understood. And my second question is on, even our revenue was more or less flat year on year, our OPEX has increased on the employee side and other expenses. So if you can help us understand what has led to increase, whether there was any one-offs.
So we've been trying to expand our operations now, and these are all, you know, as the growth comes through, you will see the numbers getting normal now.
Okay, so there is no one-off.
Hello. Yeah, anybody there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? I can hear you.
Your voice goes off all of a sudden.
Hello, can you hear me?
Very slow. I can hear you, but the volume is very less.
Yeah, okay, no problem. I will rejoin you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Shah from Insightful Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just wanted to get a little sense on the current demand and the pricing environment that you see in the market. In the sense, do we have comfort on current level of margins over the next couple of quarters?
Okay. As far as the demand is concerned, I think so. Demand is more or less stable, I can say. The reason is because one is India has been growing, the GDP has been growing, and there is a obviously natural growth of the demand. Secondly, the middle class of India is growing. Even the beverage industries, like for example, the beer industry, they have indicated that they will be growing by around 8%, 9%. Liquor industry will be growing by 8%, 9%, and same thing with the other industries. Now, the only thing is there, sometimes the share of this growth can be different among the different packaging segments. It can be little more in glass, little less in plastic, little more in plastic, little less in glass, depending upon time to time, situation to situation and all. But these are the growth numbers. Now, in our case, at least I'm talking for next 1 year. So we are already peaking our capacity. And these growths, is whatever we are debottlenecking, we are certainly going to get a benefit out of these growth numbers. Regarding the price part, the price, I think, as informed so many times earlier, we are having an understanding with our customers, with our buyers, that these prices will be linked to the input prices of the major raw material. So whatever is going, yes, there can be a time lag. There can be a time lag of few weeks or few months, depending upon type of contract we are having. With some customer, we are having a long-term agreement, which is to be reviewed every 6 months. So there can be a time lag of 6 months. There can be with a 1 year also. So there can be a time lag of 1 year also in the worst of the case. So those time lags will be there. But major part of our production is pegged against the raw material prices, any increase or decrease of the prices.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. So in case if there is any excess supply in the market in terms of competition coming in and all, you will definitely have some 1 or 2 quarters of advance notice in case pricing is starting to come off, given that you already have longer term contracts with
I think we have already matured in this industry for a long time. So it's not like that. Suppose demand goes up and down or supplies goes up and down, so we are going to have it in first time. So we have seen number of times and we have a niche market, so we are placed in a different view way in the market. So I don't think so. We are much affected by that. And the way we are developing ourselves on technical aspect and other things, probably we will always pass through these rough phases.
Super. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ishpreet Kaur from Relax Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to check with you a very basic business model question. So the sales that we have, is the EBITDA per ton or kg fixed, and hence maybe with the movement of the base metal, the margins could look optical?
Yeah, please go ahead, Rajesh.
No, it's okay. I was just trying to have more clarification on the question.
If I can understand, the question is that with our customers, is our EBITDA per ton fixed or is it a variable? Am I right in understanding your question?
Right. Irrespective of the raw material price moving left and right, is the EBITDA per kg per ton fixed?
No, madam. EBITDA per ton cannot be fixed with the customer. There are only basic and big raw materials. Only those fluctuations are being neutralized by understanding and formulas. So I don't think so anybody is going to fix up your EBITDA. Otherwise, a lot of ineffective inefficiencies will be built up in the system. Nobody may like to do it.
So to just answer your question, the cost production metrics and the efficiency metrics which AGI Greenpack has, the rest of the players in the industry may not have. Although their raw material cost would also almost be the same. Like we operate at almost 90% plus efficiency, but others may be operating, let's say, at 85% efficiency. So customer is not going to pay for that. So price of the customer is...
Mr. Sikka, I may like to add one more thing. Ma'am, you have been able to see the better performance quarter on quarter or year on year for the AGI. This is basically because a lot of work is being done in reduction in our cost, bringing efficiency, increasing our productivity, and even capacity utilization. So if by just for the sake of discussion, if we peg our EBITDA, then all those benefits may not come to us and we may not be able to show the better numbers and performance to the market. So even if there is some sort of a indication from our customer, we may not like to go like this. We may not like to peg our results like this. We may always like to do a lot of efforts to add up in our profitability and to give the better numbers to the market.
Sure. Just for another basic understanding, with the use of higher recycled material, does it help bring down the cost versus using the fresh raw materials?
Madam, it all depends upon what price of this recycled material is available. So there is a elastic curve of demand and supply in the this material also. So once your requirement goes up, and then probably I think you have to go beyond your targeted area. So obviously one is by default, your cost goes up because of the freight element. And secondly, also once demand and supply is shifted, so there may be little increase. So, but otherwise, if technically you are talking, it is always advisable to use maximum recycled material, which we are doing it in our case.
Got it. Just last one from mind. What would be the contribution of specialty glass in terms of revenue?
Mr. Sikka, you like to reply on this?
It's around 10% right now.
Sure. Thank you so much.
10% of the glass. But if you see overall, then it should be somewhere around 7 to 8%.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Darak from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Hello. Am I audible?
Not that clear, Yash. Maybe slightly if you move away from the microphone, that will be helpful.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, perfect now.
So just wanted to clarify, our gross margins are, I think, at a two-year high, if I'm not wrong, at least. So what led to such reduction in the raw material cost? Is it the prices or is it something that the company has created with some sort of efficiency?
Rajesh, you take it or I?
You take up, no issues.
So basically, if you see in last 3 years, as Mr. Khosla was saying, we done a number of initiatives. We have done number of capexes inside our plant. on two, three factors. Basically, one is increasing the throughput of the furnaces, wherein right now we are at almost 95% capacity utilization. Secondly, have been able to our efficiency with all the initiatives, and these are very small initiatives but very helpful, you know, wherein efficiency is a measure that when the bottle comes out, how many, what percentage of bottle gets rejected. We have been able to, you know, literally, you know, upscale this. Third, we have been able to move up the value chain, wherein the overall percent of value added products has increased. And also, the one major crucial factor when you see in quarterly numbers, the quarter two, the performance from the specialty glass has also improved, you know, wherein we are getting now better and better on tonnages, better and better on efficiency. Still a long way for a specialty glass to go and achieve those numbers. But these are the key factors wherein which has, because when you say gross margin is a factor of the overall costs and the selling price and the volume. So in all of them, we are trying to, you know, excel everywhere. On the container glass, a lot of work has been done, but still we are trying to find the way. Specialty glass, I'll say we are at somewhere around 60-70% of what we had planned. Another, you know, 30-40% still unlocking can happen over the next, 12 to 18 months.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Thanks all of you to taken time during all these festivities and having joined us. I feel that we have been able to answer most of your questions. If still anything is there, do write back to our investor relation agency, and we'll be very happy to make a response to the same. Thank you. Thanks again for joining.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.